Thank you, Tom. Thank you, brother. Isn't that great? If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 27. It's been about 8 months since I've preached my last sermon, and what I did was I, yesterday, wrote a sermon. I don't like the last minute ones, but that's what I did, and then late last night, I wrote another one. So then I got up early this morning, and I asked the Lord to show me which one, and this is what He has ministered to my heart, and I want to minister to your hearts through it. Acts chapter 27, and can we do something different today? Would you all stand? Old Testament tells us that they were so happy in Israel when they found the book of the law after they had been in captivity that they stood for the third part of a day. Now, I'm not going to make you stand for the third part of a day. We're just going to stand in honor of God's Word. We're honoring God's Word today by standing. Acts chapter 27, picking up at verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. And not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we were being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. I'm going to stop there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you'd bless His people with your word. Father, that you'd bless our pastor and his family as they are on vacation. Let this be a time of refreshing. Father, we thank you. We thank you for our pastor. Bless him richly. And now, Lord, bless the word richly to these hearts, that Jesus Christ would be honored in everything done here today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been in the Navy? Hallelujah. Okay. How many of you are familiar with a term in the Navy, called frapping cables? Okay, there's a couple. In Acts chapter 27 and verse 17, look at that again. When they had taken up the boat, and they'd used helps undergirding the ship. That word undergirding is the idea behind it is a frapping. It's a frapping cable. See, the Apostle Paul was a prisoner in the custody of Julius the centurion. He's being taken by ship to Rome, and the ship was in danger of falling apart. And so what they did was they took cables, they took ropes, and they went to the front of the ship, and they would let the ropes down into the water and gradually pull them back and tie the ship together. They were undergirding the ship. They were frapping it. They were tying it together so that it wouldn't fall apart. They were in a storm called Euroclydon, or a large tempest. And so they took the cables and they put them under the ship, and then they would tie them together at the top of the ship. It would hold the ship together. It was called undergirding. It was called frapping. This is the only place where you'll find this word undergirding in the Bible. It's the only place where you'll find the word frapping or undergirding in the Scriptures, and it means to tie something together tightly. So they pass these cables under the ship, and the cables used in the process are called frapping cables. F-R-A-P-P-I-N-G. Everybody say frapping cables. You're going to have this in your vocabulary, I hope, when we leave today. This method is still used in the Navy today. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, we had a Navy vessel that was in the Gulf, and they blew a large hole into the side of the ship, and I don't know if you noticed it, but what they did was they put frapping cables on it to hold the ship together because it needed an undergirding. It was falling apart after the big hole was put in the side, and so they put frapping cables around the ship to hold it together. When ships have taken hits, especially in the war or whenever a ship has been taking a hit, they will pass cables under the ship and will literally tie the ships together. Now, in Paul's day, though, they would take ropes, large ropes, and pass them under around the ships and tie the timbers together. The storm was so great that it was literally tearing the ship apart. And what they did was pass these ropes around, tie them on the top, and it would hold the ship together. It's called undergirding. Today, every father here is an undergirder. Every father here is to tie their families together. Satan is trying to tear the ship apart. He's trying to tear the ship of fatherhood apart. And what we have to do as a father is when we get in the midst of a storm is to tie our families together. Satan is trying to destroy families. Satan is out to destroy a family any way that he can, but we as fathers need to undergird our families. We need to undergird them, or otherwise the family will literally fall apart. God wants the fathers to be the frapping or the tying together, the undergirding, to hold the family together in these trying and very perilous times that we're living in. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here's the same Greek word, but now it's translated as help. Before in Acts chapter 27, it was translated as to undergird, but now it's used as to help. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we, and in mercy, find grace to tie us together in a time of need. How many of you have ever gone through a real trying time? Anybody here? Is anybody here going through a trying time now? Okay. I'm going to show you something, and we're going to try something here today with the Lord's help. What the Scripture is telling us in Hebrews that I just read, Hebrews chapter 4, is that the Lord wants us to tie together, to be tied together so we don't fall apart at the seams. God is saying, I want to put my arms of love around you and undergird you, to hold you together so that you don't fall apart in the midst of the storm that you're in. And I want you to know, I'm an honest preacher today, so I will tell you, you will go through a storm or two before you die. And everybody said, oh my. See, what we have to do is we have to admit we're in the midst of a storm. Saying, Lord, I'm in the midst of a terrible storm. Brother Lauren today was saying that you and I, have times when we put on a plastic mask. You know, we come into church. And I used to like this, and I would stand at the door and as people would go, I'd hold her hand and say, how's it going? And they'd say, fine, Pastor, really fine. Big smile on their face. And then God would say something to my heart, so I'd hold her hand and not let him go. And I'd say, now, how's it going? And many times they'd break down and start crying. And I'd say, it's not going so good, is it? And they said, no, it's really not going good. I need some help. What they were doing was they were falling apart at the seams, but they put a plastic mask on. And what we need to do is when we come to church, we need to take that mask off. Let people see you as you are. Let people know and draw alongside of you and undergird you. If you're having a bad day, let somebody know so that they can help you. We've all been in storms, and we all feel sometimes like we're going to come apart at the seams. But the Scripture says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So it's used there of help. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my undergirder. I will not fear what man can do to me." It's translated here as helper. The Lord is my undergirder. He wants to wrap me about. He wants to put his arms of love. He wants to hold me close to himself. God knows what we're going through. God knows that we're going through storms. Can I tell you something, church? Be honest with God. Be honest with God. Don't play games. He knows everything you're going through. What we need to do is we need to come to him and say, "Lord, I'm going through a bad time in my life, and I need your help. I need you to help me. I need you to undergird me. Lord, I'm falling apart at the seams. Nobody knows it because I put my mask on. How's it going, Pastor?" "Oh, really, really good." "How's it going, Pastor?" "Bah! Not good at all. And I need some help." The Lord is my helper. God literally wants to put his arms around you and hold you together. That's what he wants to do. He wants to hold you tight in the midst of the storms of life. God knows what we're going through. We're going through storms, and if we don't ask him to gird us round about, if we don't ask him to help us, to be our helper, what happens is that you're going to be tossed and torn apart on the seas of life, the seas of perilous times. It says, "In the last days, perilous times shall come." I want to tell you, we're in the last days, and in the last days, perilous times shall come. And what I want to do is I want to give you a word so that when you're in the midst of a trouble, when you're in the midst of a trial, God will come and help you. You need to know that. God will come and he will wrap his everlasting arms around you and hold you together so that you're not tossed and torn apart by the storms on the sea of life. God is telling us storms are coming. He wants us to be tied together, and we will be torn apart, or we will be torn apart. There are preachers today that will tell you, and when I first got saved, I remember it vividly because I saw a flower for the first time. And I got down on my hands and knees and looked at that flower. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. And we were... Bev and I were just on cloud 25. We were way up there. And somebody said, "Hang on, you're going to go through some troubles." Now, they were honest. I rebuked them in Jesus' name. But by the time I was home, I was in trouble. I knew it. And so what I had to do was I had to go to the Lord, and I had to begin to ask him to help us. Help me go through the storms of life. Now, I've only gone through one storm in my life. My cheering section over here is laughing. How many of you have only ever gone through one trial? Yeah, right crowd. What happened here was Paul said that they undergirded the ship because it was starting to come apart at the seams. So when they tied it together, suddenly they felt a little bit better. The ship isn't coming apart at the seams anymore, but we're still in the midst of a storm. And what happens then is they're feeling a little bit better, so they begin to throw baggage overboard, excess things that they had on board. How many of you know you have some excess things in your life that you need to get rid of? Hallelujah. We all have some excess things, some baggage. Once we're tied together, we feel a little safer. Now it's easier to get rid of the baggage, the excess, the junk that we have in our life. God wants us to do that. There have been times when you've been in storms, when your appetite goes, your appetite just suddenly leaves. And you have to remember that God wants to be your undergirder at all times. I believe that God gives us the answers before the storms come into our lives. But it's in the midst of the storms, where he will literally come and put his arms around us and undergird us. He is our frapping cable. He will hold us together instead of letting us fall apart at the seams. Fathers should do the same thing with their families. We should hold our families together so that they don't fall apart. Families are falling apart at a great rate today. When I first started preaching 35 years ago, I would ask how many people knew someone who had at least a divorce in their family. And at the most, in a congregation of 100 people, would be 2 or 3. Now let me ask you, how many of you, either in your family or yourselves, had a hard time and you've had a divorce? You know of somebody in your family that's had a divorce. Look at the hands around us. Look at the hands around us. We are getting closer to the end. The closer we get to the end, the more Satan is after us. The more Satan is trying to tear the family apart. So what God wants us to do, God wants us as fathers to begin to hold this thing together. We as fathers need to rise up. We need to take hold of Satan and say, "You cannot do that to my family." We need to declare that God is in control. God wants to tie us together. He wants us to help one another. When you see someone in a terrible storm, go up to them and just simply put your arms around them. If you know somebody that's going through a terrible time, just go up to them and put your arms around them. I had a dear lady in one of my churches who was just a fantastic Christian. They used to come to church and they would bring a truck without sideboards on it. Back in those days you could. And she brought her 12 children to church. And she said, on the way home, she said there was nothing to have 21 or 22 kids on the back of this truck, and they would go home and they would eat. This woman, her sons, I'd received a call. She had cancer. She wasn't doing good. And so I went to the hospital, and I was with her as she died. Her family was there. And I didn't know what to say. This woman was a beautiful mother, a grandmother, a pillar of the assembly. And I didn't know what to say, so what I did was I just walked to the kids, and I put my arms around them and cried. I didn't know what to say. Do you know something? These kids began to share what their mama did for them. One of them said, "I was the wildest kid in the universe." And he said, "I used to come home at 3 o'clock in the morning, drunk." And he said, "I would have to go past my mother's door, and she was on her knees crying out for that son. She was wrapping him around. He was falling apart at the seams, but she in prayer was tying him together." And that's what God wants us to do. That was a mother whose husband had died, and she was trying to hold her family together. And the way she was doing it was through prayer. We need to do that. We need to pray for our family as never before. Put your arms around someone that's going through a time of storm and just say, "Brother, sister, I'm with you in this storm. You're not alone. We're going to stay together in this thing until you see a breakthrough. You're going to know that I'm going to be standing back here praying until you have a breakthrough." It makes all the difference in the world, because then you can get rid of excess baggage in your life. And we all need to get rid of excess baggage. I was going to bring a whole bunch of suitcases up here, but to show you how much baggage I carry. But you need to say, I'm going to undergird you. I'm going to frap you round about with my prayers. You're not going to come apart at the seams. You can talk to me. I want you to know I will be with you at all times. I'm not going to let you come apart at the seams. You're not going to come apart. You're going to go through that storm, and I'm going to go through it with you. You're not going to fall apart. You're going to make it. Now, I want you to remember, at this point in time, Paul says they were in this terrible storm for about 3 days. They were in the midst of the storm pretty good now. And they began to bring in the skiff. It was trailing behind them. They brought the skiff on the ship and began to pass the ropes around so the ship wouldn't fall apart. They tied the ropes together. Then Paul says he waits another 11 days. 14 days later now, they're still in the storm. How many of you know that's a big storm? How many of you know that if you're in a storm for 14 days in your life, it's a big storm? I am not in this storm. I am not in this storm. You can declare that you're not in the midst of the storm, but the storm will declare it is in the midst of you. And the storm is stronger than you are. Paul began to say, after 14 days, men, I want you to hear me. Now remember, Paul is a prisoner. There's 276 people on board this ship. Paul is a prisoner. And Paul said, this night, an angel of the Lord stood by me and said, Paul, you're going to make it. It's because of you, Paul, that these other 275 people are going to make it. Paul is the prisoner, but now the prisoner becomes the leader. God has a way of doing that. When you're in the midst of a storm, God will take you and make you in charge of the surroundings around you. God loves to do that. He loves to show that He is the God that is able to calm the storms of life. He went on board as a prisoner, ended up in charge. Paul began giving orders to a centurion, a man who's in charge of 100 men. Some of the sailors wanted to let down some anchors from the front of the boat. And so they said, we're going to let the skiff down. We'll take some anchors out to the front. And Paul said, unless they stay on board, we're all perishing. Every one of us is going to perish. The angel of the Lord spoke to me today. What they wanted to do was they wanted to get out of the trouble. Now, when you come to a storm in your life, you have two choices. You can either fight or flight. You'll either run away or you're going to stand up and face the troubles. We need to be able to stand up and face the troubles in our lives. We need to know that God is in control. God is able to do all the things that He says that He can. And so what we need to do is stand up and begin to fight for what God wants us to learn, what God wants us to do. If you're going through a storm in your life, I want you to understand this, church. The angel of the Lord is going to be there with you. The same as He was with Paul, the angel of the Lord is going to be standing alongside of you. We're looking at angels on Wednesday night and some of the things about them. The angel of the Lord came to Paul, and He's going to minister to you. He's going to wrap you about so that you don't come apart at the seams. Now, in the midst of the storm, now after 14 days, the only person who isn't fearful anymore is Paul. And so he says, take that skiff and cut it off. These men are fleeing, and if they flee, we're all perishing. Centurion immediately says, cut those boats loose. Let them go. Keep those men on board. And Paul said, if you stay on board, not one of you are going to be harmed. All 276 people made it to shore. The Lord wants us to come before the throne of grace boldly. You can come before the Lord, and the Lord says, I will undergird you. I will hold you together. Satan cannot have you because you are mine. Look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that are with thee. God has given you all them that are with you. How many of you know the angels know you by name? God said to an angel, I want you to go down there and minister to Paul. 276 people. Which one is Paul? Which one is Paul? Gee, I don't know. The angel knows you by name. God says to an angel, I want you to go down and minister to, put your name there, and the angel will come. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. Paul stood up and says, I have grace enough to undergird 275 people. Because the angel of the Lord has undergirded me, I'm able to undergird 275 other people in the midst of the storm, through the storm. He began to tie all these people together. All of them were coming apart at the seams. 276 people. 275 are coming apart at the seams. Paul says, I have enough grace for all of you. I'm going to tie you all together. He began to exhort them. He began to encourage them. Paul said, listen, I don't care if you can't swim. You're still going to make it to shore. Wouldn't that be something, being in a storm for 14 days? And Paul says, if you stay on board the ship, I want you to understand that you are going to make it. You are not going to drown. I can't swim. I don't care. You're not going to drown. God has told me that your life is safe. If you will stay with the ship in the midst of the storm, God says, I will make sure that you make it safely to the shore. Listen, church, there's a lot of people today that are jumping ship. There are a lot of people today that are wanting to get out of it. And I want you to understand, God wants you to know that if you stay on board the ship, you're going to make it safely to the end. You don't have to worry. You do not have to worry that you're going to fall away before the Lord comes. You're not. You're going to be undergirded. The word of the Lord, I believe, for us today is, if you can't swim in the storm you're in, that's okay. Because God's going to make you get through all the way to the other end. God wants to tie us together as a body of Christ. I believe today there are storms in your life, different people's lives. How about a storm of finances? How about a storm of family problems? How about a storm of health? How about the other storms that rage in our lives? See, I don't know what you're going through, but you do. And I want you to know that if you're in the midst of a storm, you're going to be tied together today. God is going to undergird each one of us today. He wants to do that to you. He wants to do that to me. He wants to tie us together as never before. I cannot fail when God is on my side. I want you all to say that. I cannot fail when God is on my side. Let's say it again. I cannot fail when God is on my side. Once more. I cannot fail when God is on my side. See, God and you are a majority. The term used for frapping cables or for undergirding is only used those four times in the Bible. I have heard from friends of mine from all over the United States that people are leaving, walking into church and out of church without ever being noticed. And I think that's a horrible atrocity. We need to undergird one another. We need to be ready. And if someone is going through a storm, say, brother, sister, we're going to undergird each other. God is going to help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. If you're in trouble and you have someone else with you, and you have God with you, that threefold cord cannot be broken. It will not be broken. You get somebody else to pray with you, you get to the Lord and have the Lord undergird you, and you've got three cords, your own plus two others. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to take our masks off. I don't care what kind of a problem you're going through. I don't want to know. I don't want anybody else to know. But if you have a storm in your life, kids, there's tremendous pressure upon you at school. There's tremendous pressure upon you at work. And if you're going through a storm, I'm just going to ask you to get up from where you're at and come down here, and we're going to pray together. Are you going through a storm? Would you just get up from where you are and come down, take your mask off, just walk down here, and we're going to pray. I don't care what your problem is. You don't care what anybody else says. Because you want God to minister to you. You want God to help you. God is here in a special way today because He wants to minister to you. You're here today by a divine appointment. You're not here by chance. You didn't just happen to get up today and go to church. I believe God sent the angel of the Lord to your side and said, I want you to come and I want you to hear this message for you today. God has this message that I got up this morning and finally put together just for you today. Let's just move a little bit closer. I want you to take hands with somebody else. Everybody's holding somebody's hand.